All right, people. This is a special. Not only is it special, but it's long overdue. It's a long overdue and special episode of Tudor Reviews. Romero Tudor here, but I got some company with me, and this is long overdue, man. You know, we did a live stream prior to this. I think it was around the time when the Child's Play remake came out, and we kind of branched off and talked about a whole bunch of other things pertaining to horror. But, you know, I got some help with me, you know, and I'm not going to talk about the topic we're going to talk about. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce who I have with me, and I got none other than my compadre, the Horror Meister Monty G, with me on the podcast. Monty, are you there?
I'm here. I'm ready. What's up, everybody?
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, man. The Horror Meister Monty G. Now, I probably fumbled over my words a little bit, but we have the Horror Meister Monty G. And if anybody doesn't know, check him out on YouTube. He's got a kicking ass YouTube channel, the Horror Meister Monty G. He reviews movies, he does trailer reactions, movie reactions, all types of things, man. So check him out on YouTube. But Monty, I didn't think we were gonna be able to do this, man. I really did. I'm a little bit beside myself, slightly. I feel like I'm being a little bit of a groupie right now. You know, probably because you've had your YouTube channel up probably longer than I've been doing this this quote unquote podcast thing, man. So it's good to have you on here, brother. It really is, man. Not to mention anybody out there that needs to know, we both are, you know, Monty, we met in Killer Flicks, right? Killer Flicks,
Yeah, we met in Killer Flicks.
It's a Facebook page. If anybody wants to check it out, check out Killer Flicks on Facebook. It's a crazy ass horror page. I mean, it's pretty open, but for the most part, it's a horror page ran by Lee McCoy. Shout out to Lee McCoy. And we met on there, and come to find out, we were two of the few people that were from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in there. And, you know, it just so happened that, you know, we love movies all the same, man. We love movies all the same, and that's, you know, that's how us Philly cats get down. But Monty, man, is really good to have you on here, man. It really is, and it feels like it's really, when I say it's long overdue, bro, it really is, man. It really is, because...
Oh, yeah, definitely long overdue, man.
Yeah, man, because, you know, your movie savvy is kind of like it's really like when I listen to your reviews and your reactions, it's kind of crazy because you're a little wise beyond your years, man. And the way you review movies, like you do it with a calmness. You do it with a calmness. Like there could be a groundbreaking movie and you're just like, yeah, well, you know, I thought it was kind of, you know, whatever. And it's just like, I like
one of the things I think that I try to make myself a little bit noticeable than any other movie reviewer.
Uh-huh.
As I tried to present myself as me, when you look at my videos, that's me, you know.
Right.
My Kelly Smith Jr. that you're looking at right there, that's my personality, that's me, I'm laid back, I'm cool. You know, and sometimes I can get a bit animated, especially if the movie is good or if the movie is terrible. It's like, right. You know, if you take a look, because most people love it when I rant. And when I saw The Slender Man a couple years ago, and I hated that. And I won't say hate. The movie was just terrible. I did a rant video on it, and people just love it.
Oh, the Slender Man. Now, listen, now I didn't see the Slender Man, but man, I'll take your word for it. Cause you know how I feel about those, those jump scare, tales from the dark, you know, I'm a tell a story, character type of movies. You know, I don't like the Slender Man, the Crooked Man, the Conjuring, and the Annabelle that ran from the house that was falling down to the sky and all that type of shit. Like, I can't get into it, man. I really can't. I can't. I really can't, man. I can't. You're almost,
you know,
I really can't. I can't get down with it. But it's like, you know, those movies, they trigger us because we're horror fans, man. Like, we're not only are we movie fans, but we are diehard horror movie fans, and we like good horror. So when the shitty horror comes out, we're going to call it like it is. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like you can't get one up on people like us because we know what good horror is supposed to be like. So when they pitch us this stuff like the Slender Man and the stuff that, you know, all the things that you mentioned, it's like we can't really get down with that, man. But what now, if I may, now let me just say something. With that being said, can I jump into the topic real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I jump into the topic real quick? Now, with that being said, the Slender Man and the Insidiouses and all that type of stuff, there's an audience for, you know, when you get stuff like the Slender Man and stuff like that, you have an audience for sequels. So one of the things that we're going to be talking heavily about, people out there that are listening, are sequels, direct sequels, reboots, whatever you may have it. So, I mean, first of all, let me just ask, Monty, how do you feel about sequels, man? As far as horror goes, how do you feel about sequels in general?
It depends upon the story. Were we really looking for a sequel? Is it just a cash grab?
True.
You know, when you take a look at some of the sequels there out there today, some of them are pretty good, some of them are pretty bad. You can tell that it was just a cash grab. You know, the movie studios are just looking to make the money, and they didn't do anything inventive or story-wise, acting-wise.
Yep.
You know, then you get the so-so sequel. So sequels, to me, it simply just depends upon the continuation of the story. You know, I'll even give an example. A good example is Three from Hell.
Now, oh, wow. Have you seen Three from Hell?
Yeah, I saw it, yes.
Was it any good? Because you know what? I've seen House of a Thousand Corpses. I saw it probably once or twice. And I've seen Devil's Rejects once or twice. I actually didn't mind Devil's Rejects. It was pretty badass. But Three from Hell, like, the hype was kind of building up. The trailer didn't do anything for me. But what'd you think of Three from Hell?
It's Rob Zombie's worst outing. I have not seen the Lords of Salem because a lot of people.
Oh, man.
That's his worst one. So,
you didn't like Lords of Salem? I mean, maybe it was because, yo, listen, I had a lot of, it was a long night of Jacqueline's rum and herbal refreshments, and I kind of tried to force myself to tolerate the Lords of Salem, and I tried to tell myself, like, well, maybe he's trying to do something different after Halloween 2, but it's like, I don't know. I'll probably have to watch it again, but...
And, of course, I like the style that he did in the beginning part of the movie, but I won't talk about the style, so the people won't be spoiled by it. But there was something missing in the characters. First of all,
oh wow,
you could see that Sig Haig was, you could see that he was very ill.
And oh man, so you know, and anybody out there, RIP Sid Haig, he's horror royalty. Anybody out there, if they didn't know, then now they know he passed away. But so you're telling me you could see that he was sick on set? Like during filming?
Yeah, the scenes that he's in, you could tell.
God damn, man, that's rough. That's rough, man.
You could see that. And I'm pretty sure he did it because he probably, because from what I understand, Bill Moseley, his wife, and Sig Haig at first thought that they didn't want to sleep because they all got killed.
Right. Yeah. That was the thing for me. I was like, now one of the things I do remember about the Devil's Rejects was that they all got blasted up on the highway, you know, and that, you know, it was that was the end of the movie. They all got shot up, and I didn't understand how he was making Three from Hell because they all had died. And I didn't really understand. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I really didn't understand either. But, you know, but as far as that's concerned, and he had that, and, you know, there was something missing in that movie as opposed to The Devil's Reject and House of a Thousand Corpses.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was something missing. It seems like, you know, you don't think that Rob, oh, yeah, you'll still see the typical things Rob saw me. You'll see lots of nudity, lots of violence, you know, lots of gore and lots of blood. That's in there. So if you're looking just for that, then you'll be happy.
Right.
You know, but you know, for me, I'm looking for stuff because, you know, I think, as far as it's concerned right now, I think Rob Zombie should stick just directing and leave the writing to somebody else.
Yeah, and you know what? I hear a lot of people say the same thing that you say, man, and that's like, as much as I love, I know we agree to disagree, like, you know how I feel about the Rob Zombie Halloween movies. Now, while I do enjoy those movies, the writing, I do look back on the writing, like, and as a writer, it's just like, damn, you couldn't really come up with anything more creative. I get it, but no, I actually hear what you're saying, man. I don't disagree with it, you know, as far as You can direct, but get somebody else to write it for you. But I feel like, you know, he wants to have that type of creative control. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. I that goes into one of my questions where, you know, we were talking about Rob Zombie and his Three from Hell and his Halloween 2s and all of that. It's like, real quick, before we jump into the topic, like, what do you think the dangers of having a franchise are? Like, what are the dangers of when you have one movie and you know it's that successful? What do you think the dangers of, you know, attempting to start a franchise off of it are? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
it depends upon the first movie, you know. Is it very well written? You know, is it, you know, are the characters are interesting? Do you think your audience wants to see more of this story?
True.
You know, that's what you should always go into if you're thinking about building a franchise. I mean, we didn't think of anything about franchises, you know, back in the early 80s when we saw the first Friday the 13th came out.
Yeah.
Even the first
night. Yeah, that's a great example too.
You know. So if you're going to build a franchise, you have to first understand, you know, are these characters interesting enough when you know that audience wants to see more of these characters? You know, if you don't do that in the first one, then you're going to, you know, alienate the fans by, you know, hey, look, but that was just a cash grab. You know, then you have, that's why most sequels don't work.
Yeah. Yeah, and I you know what? I agree 100%. It's like, It does have something to do with the writing. It does have something to do with the story. It does have something to do with the characters. And, you know, that's where I think a lot of people, not necessarily agree to disagree, but I think that's where a lot of the creators, that's where they screw up at. You know, they all they see is dollar signs. They don't take into consideration the small things that fans like us take for granted and the things that small fans like us appreciate. You know, they'll make sequels with characters we don't give a shit about and storylines we don't give a shit about. Actually, you know what? And listen, without further ado, people, Monty, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump right into it. Now, we're on a subject, and you mentioned slasher films and slasher franchise, and I'm glad you did. Now, we have a movie coming out next year, Monty. We do. We have a movie coming out, man. We have a movie coming out called Halloween Kills. We got Halloween Kills coming out, man, next year. And before we talk about that, I want to ask you, man, because I have my own personal opinions on it, and I'm pretty sure you see it all the time on Facebook and all that type of stuff, but I have my own personal opinions on Halloween 2018. How did you feel that movie turned out, like, with all the hype that was surrounding Halloween 2018 with the trailers and, you know, the news of Jamie Lee Curtis coming back, John Carpenter coming back to produce and score, you know, I mean, how were your overall thoughts on Halloween 2018 before we jump into, you know, Halloween Kills about to come out next year?
Okay. Yeah, as most people saw my review, I actually did enjoy Halloween 2018. I thought it was a very decent horror movie.
Right.
I thought the execution was fine. I liked the direction. I like the fact that how the story was presented. Instead of just doing a carbon copy of what we've seen in all the other Halloweens, it was its own story.
Right.
A lot of people didn't like the fact that, you know, Laurie Strode and Michael Myers weren't brothers anymore, but, you know, that didn't bother me.
Oh, that didn't bother you at all?
No.
Oh, man. I mean, I can deal with it. I can deal with it because, you know, it's been so many different storylines and timelines in this series. Like, it's dysfunctional as is. I could deal with it, but I don't know, man. I felt like that was a big story arc in Halloween 2. I mean, you know, everybody agreed to disagree, whatever, but...
Yeah, because like I said, now of course if the story wasn't good, then of course I said, well, maybe they made a mistake and should have done that. But because as far as I'm concerned, because the movie was good and I liked the story,
right,
and I liked the acting, most of the acting was good. So I had no problem with them doing what they did, you know.
Right. Right.
Like I said, you had some decent kills, you know, like it's Jamie Lee Curtis was good in the movie.
Oh, she was great, man. She was great in that movie.
I really enjoyed Halloween 2018. Now, to
piggyback off of what you said, Jamie Lee Curtis, she was awesome, man. And she was the, now I'm gonna be real, man. I'm going for Michael Myers at the end of the day. I really am. But when I get something like Jamie Lee Curtis 40 years later, traumatized from what happened in 1978, I'm going for that too. So when I get the 2-in-1 combo all in one movie, that's awesome. Now I have a lot of complaints with that movie that I'm not really going to get into. I don't want to like stray away from our topic, but like the movie was great, but now we have Halloween Kills coming up. And we have Jamie Lee Curtis coming back. We have Annie Matichak coming back. We have what's her name? Judy Greer coming back. We have Charles Cyphers coming back as Sheriff Brackett. We have, goddamn, I can't remember the nurse's name from the original movie. She's coming back.
I know she's coming back, too.
She's coming back. You have Anthony Michael Hall playing Tommy Doyle. You have the original Lindsay Wallace, Kyle Richards, coming back. You got, I can't remember the actor's name playing, what is his name? What is his name? Lonnie Elam. There you go, Lonnie Elam. Now, now this sequel, it sounds like I'm getting, now while I'm excited because it sounds like I'm getting everything that I didn't get in the original film, or not the original film, but the you know, the 2018 movie. Because David Gordon Green promised a lot of shit that we didn't get. You know, he promised that there were going to be a lot of returning characters and this, that, and the other. And I feel like the nostalgia was more in the trailer and more in the hype than it was in the actual movie for me. So this movie, I'm actually hoping. And, you know, the rumor has it that the movie's going to take place in Haddonfield Memorial Hospital. Now, would you...
I read that, yes.
Would you want it to take place... In the hospital entirely, like through the movie's entirety, would you want it to do that, or would you want it to take place somewhere else?
Well, again, it depends upon the story itself. If they can make a story effective by using the hospital and keep it contained in there,
if
the story's effective enough, then again, I don't have a problem with these main being in one area.
Right.
No, because I know some studios have a tendency to, in order to save money, to only shoot it in one area, and that's it. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Right. Yeah, I actually am not against, you know, I know a lot of people, and you know what honestly, what left a bad taste in people's mouth as far as like this new place, this new movie taking place in the hospital is the Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. When people, we thought we were getting, you know, you had an audience that loved the remake. And then when you get part two, you find out that it's a dream sequence. And you had people that really thought you were going to get Michael Myers stalking Laurie Strode in this hospital, but she wakes up and it's a dream sequence. Now, that left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. But I'm one of those people where it's like, I'm afraid of Halloween 2, the original, like the 81 version, it made me afraid of hospitals. So anytime I'm in a hospital, I'm already on edge. So like that in itself, if they set this new movie in Haddonfield Memorial Hospital, I don't mind at all. Now, there are rumors that, you know, there's going to be an angry mob coming after Michael, like Tommy, Lindsay, the nurse. But honestly, what I really want from this new movie, and I don't give a shit what else they give us, I want a burned mask, and what I want is I want a flashback sequence. Now, I know they were filming a flashback sequence. Did you see the pictures online of it was?
I try to stay away from that.
Okay. So So I'm the asshole that goes online and spoils everything. But listen, man.
This is one of the problems that I don't like about the internet. It seems like every time there's something new. Then we have like four or five YouTube channels talking about the latest updates right. from Halloween. And then I get a whole bunch of pictures on Facebook.
Right.
And it's like, all right, guys, look, I know you guys are excited, but calm down. Calm down. Wait for the movie to come out. Then we can all have fun and talk about it then. But I don't need to know about where they're shooting at or who's starting right. it. Or this person is doing this.
You know? Right, man. And you know what? Listen, man, you know, there's one thing I actually posted on Facebook earlier, and I said two things that I hate. I said I hate the internet, and I hate my inquisitive mind. And I will get into later on when we touch on that that movie, I'll get into it. But I'm not going to get into it right now. However, I do see the things that they post about Halloween online, and it's a whole bunch of speculations and behind the scenes pics and all that stuff. Honestly, I want nostalgia, man. I want the nostalgia that I didn't get in the 2018 movie, because like I said, man, I put a lot of faith into it. And while it wasn't a bad movie, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't get that I wanted to get. And it seems like everything that I wanted in the original in the new sequel that came out, it seems like I'm getting it now. I'm getting Lindsay Wallace. I'm getting Tommy Doyle. I'm getting Lonnie Elam. Like, I'm getting Sheriff Brackett. You know, it seems like they're giving me everything I wanted. And it seems like they're giving me flashback sequences. Now, what I want to know is that, are you opposed to them doing Loomis, like recreating Loomis in a flashback sequence? Because I've seen a lot of fan films where they nail it. Like, I saw a fan film this morning where it's based off Officer Hawkins, you know, that Will Patton's character.
Yeah, I saw it posted.
That, and the guy that they got, you can barely see him in the background of Michael Myers, but he looks just like Donald Pleasance. And I wish that Hollywood could do stuff like this that the fans do, you know, just to pay homage to, you know, the true fans out there, man. And, you know, we don't really get stuff like that, man. So, I mean, would you be opposed to them doing a flashback sequence of, like, 1978 in a new movie?
No. I don't. Well, I don't know. It depends upon how it fits into the story. You know, if they want to do a flashback to 1978 and try to recreate an image that has Donald Pleasance in it, it depends upon how the story is and does it fit story-wise. Because to me, if you're going to do that and it doesn't fit the story, then all you're doing is trying to make the fans happy and not trying to create a storyline. Because, like, hey, look, because everyone knows how much we love Donald Pleasant, we love Dr. Loomis.
True.
And everyone hated the fake Dr. Loomis in Halloween 2018. But it has to fit the story in order for it to be effective. If you're just throwing it in, and all you're doing is trying to make the fans happy. And to me, that's not a good way to do things. You know, if you're going to do it, then do it right and make sure that it actually makes sense story-wise to actually put him in the, if you're going to use the old clip from the old original Halloween, then I don't mind doing it so long as it fits the story.
Right. And you know what? I actually agree with you, man, because I remember that they said that David Gordon Green wanted to recreate the ending of Halloween for the new one. And John Carpenter actually stepped in and was like, no. people will crucify you if you do this ending. Because what he wanted to do was he wanted to change the entire ending of, not the entire ending, but kind of like tweak the ending of the original Halloween to where Loomis gets killed by Michael Myers. You know, after he, like, either before or after he gets shot six times. I can't remember before or after, but he wanted to change the ending, and John Carpenter had to step in, like, listen, man, no. Like, you got me on board, this is my baby, no. So, I agree with you completely when it, you know, everything has to be in context with the story, man. Like, you know, you can't just do things for the sake of pleasing fans. As much as you do want to please fans, it has to coincide with what's going on. So, I, you know, yeah, I agree. And I, like, listen, man, if I can switch gears real quick, like legit switch gears, because when I say switch gears, it's all about the come full circle in what I'm about to say. When I say I could switch gears, if we're going to talk about franchises, if I could switch gears. Now, when I say switch gears, I mean, how do you feel the Fast and Furious franchise is going? It's like I said switch gears for a reason, so it's like I had to make it relevant.
here's the sad part is that you know, I kind of feel sorry that Dwayne and Vin Diesel's egos got the best of them. And
Wait. You didn't see Vin Diesel's. You didn't see The Rock's Instagram post?
No.
Now listen, The Rock, now he made a post. He was in the gym, of course. He was like throwing around tires of 18 wheelers and walking around with chains on his neck, and you know, he was bench pressing dinosaurs and shit in the gym. He was sweating, but he made a video where he was like, you know, thank you. He was thanking all the fans, and he was like, yo, thank you, everybody that made Hobbs and Shaw the number one movie in the world. We made this amount of money. And then at the end of the video, he thanked Vin Diesel. He said, you know, Vin, I want to thank my brother Vin for bringing me onto this franchise and Fast Five and blah, blah, blah. He's like, listen, he was like, my goal was to always elevate the series and help where need be. And then at the end of the video, he was like, you know, as I always say, I'll see you soon, Toretto. And he smiled, and then the video went off. You didn't see that video? Yeah, you didn't see that video, and that's when I was like, okay, they have secretly, behind closed doors, squashed the beef. Now, they both have enough going on, whereas though they can skip part 9 and see the box office returns of part 9, and I think The Rock can come back for part 10, and they just squash it, and, you know, Tyrese will just have to deal with it. Yeah, he'll have to deal with it, man, because he did a lot of bitching and moaning, and it's like, while I can kind of understand where he came from with The Rock doing a spinoff, I wasn't disappointed at all with Hobbs versus Shaw. Like, it delivered. It's actually in my top 3 Fast and Furious movies ever made.
It's like, if you want to suspend your, you know, if you want to suspend your mind and just enjoy over the top.
Yes, yeah, you got to suspend disbelief. Yep.
Action. You know, suspend disbelief, enjoy overall action, see The Rock and Jason Statham make, you know, quick one-liners. So they're very good together. You know, if you want
yeah, to they are, man.
That's what you're looking for in a Fast and Furious movie. But as far as the current one, you know, as long as they stick to what's been working for them, and I don't have a problem with that, because that's been working for them.
Right, and I feel like with the Fast and Furious franchise, I feel like, you know, we've come, anybody that's a fan of it, you've come a long way. Like, if you are a genuine fan, you've come a long way. Now, there are a lot of people say these are, you know, they were street racers, and it's like, they were never street racers, they were criminals, they just got involved in street racing. They were thieves. But I understand that now they are Mission Impossible movies. And even these movies can't even top Mission Impossible movies. Now, this is my favorite series because it's over the top. I don't count Mission Impossible as my favorite action series because they cheat. They really do stunts. They really jump out of spaceships and planes and shit. So it's like, no, no. Y'all are cheating. So Fast and Furious is cool. But as far as the 9th one, I really don't know I don't know what they're going to do. Like, I feel like they're going to CG Paul Walker back, but I feel like they should keep it for part 10. As part 10 is supposed to be the last one. But I feel like, I don't know what they're going to do, man. Like, I, you know, they're showing a lot of behind the scenes shit. They got everybody coming back. They got Justin Lin coming back. Justin Lin was the one, he was a director. He came on for...
Yeah,
he came on for Tokyo Drift, and he stopped at Fast 6. That was his last movie. Then James Wan came on for 7. F. Gary Gray came on for 8. The Deadpool guy came on for Hobbs and Shaw. And now you got Justin Lin coming back. But it's like, I don't know where they can take it. You know, they said that they weren't going to go to space. But after the last one, you know, you're on the ice on some Die Another Day James Bond shit. And I don't know where you can take this franchise at this point. Apparently the writers do, but I'm not sure where you can. I mean, are you like Monty? First of all, let me ask you: do you have a favorite? Are you if you're not a fan of this series, do you have one that you actually can frequently watch? Like, do you have a favorite in the Fast and Furious series that you can be like, okay, I'll watch it. Like, you just up and watch it, like a favorite or something like that.
I'm trying to think which one was it. I don't know. Was the I guess it had to be the one that the last one Paul Walker did.
Furious 7.
Yeah, 7.
Yeah, Furious 7, and that actually that one is good. That's in my top 3 actually, because I did that was actually the first one that I did commentary for when I started the podcast. And but you know what? I went to the movies to see that, but that one will always have a dark cloud over it because, you know, Paul Walker died while he was filming it. So, you know, you got a whole bunch of stunt doubles and CG rendering and stuff like that. So
because I think a couple of the scenes, you can tell that it's not Paul Walker.
Clearly you can tell it's not him. And that's why, you know, I was in the theater and I was getting, first of all, I was in the theater drunk for one, because I'm like, listen, this was my first Fast and Furious movie ever seen in theater. So I was with two of my friends and I was getting on their nerves. I'm like, listen, that's not Paul Walker. That's CG. That's not Paul Walker. That's a stunt double. That's CG, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was getting on their nerves. But there is a dark cloud over, and I did commentary for it, and it's like, I even said in the commentary, like, listen, there's a dark cloud over Furious 7 for me because I know when it was and wasn't Paul Walker, but it still was a good movie nonetheless. Like, it's still in my top 3 movies. Like, my top 3 Fast and Furious movies is Fast 6, Hobbs and Shaw, and then Fast 7. No, Fast 6... Fast 7, Hobbs and Shaw. That's top 3, easily. Yeah, it is. But the new one, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, they have to go to the moon or something like that. I don't know what they're going to do with this plot. But what I do know is that Vin Diesel and Universal have a very specific contract. And I don't know what it is, what their contract entails, but I know that it's really hefty, is what I know. It's all I know, man. It's all I know. Now, with that being said, speaking of hefty contracts and, you know, ongoing characters, there's something we need to talk about. We need to talk about, there's a movie coming out, Monty. Now, I know you like Marvel. I know I like Marvel. I love Marvel. We both love Marvel, man. We love Marvel movies. But at the end of the day, DC, I mean, I don't know about you. I am a DC guy. I am a DC fan. And I want to see DC win. And, you know, I did a review on the Joker movie. Maybe I'll do a review on some more DC shit. But there is a DC movie that's coming out that is going to mean a lot to the future of this this property. And that is The Batman. The Batman, and, you know, you got your boy, Monty. You got Robert Pattinson, Edward from Twilight, man. He is playing Bruce Wayne, Monty. He is. And you know what? I was 100%, 1000. Let me rephrase that. 1000% against it. I really was, man, because I'm like, I don't know what, you know, personally for me, let me just say something. And this isn't just for you. This is for people out there that are going to listen to us talking about it. I was 100% against Joaquin Phoenix playing the Joker. And come to find out when I watched it, you know, it wasn't an epic movie for me. I gave it a 7 out of 10. It was a flawed movie, but it wasn't bad. It was very well written. It was very well directed. It was very well acted. And I give the credit where the credit is due. However, we got the news that Robert Pattinson, a.k.a. Edward from Twilight, and, you know, he was in Good Time, and I can't remember all the other indie movies he was in, but we got the news that he was going to be Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman. Now, Monty, I don't, you know, the rumor has it, word around the campfire is that this is going to be more of a detective movie. Now, the last time we really saw Bruce Wayne, Batman, as a detective was probably in the Christopher Nolan series. I mean, on screen, like live action. We saw a bit of Christian Bale be a detective. And we didn't get much of it, but we got the most of it that we probably seen on screen. We got more than we saw from Ben Affleck, and that's probably because he had to share a movie. But, I mean, do you think that Robert Pattinson will work as the Batman, you know, in the next 2 years or so, whenever this movie's coming out?
It's just like the Christopher Bale when he got cast as Batman, and just like Michael Keaton when he was cast as Batman, Bruce Wayne. It all depends upon the story, you know yep. What type of Batman yep. are you going to have?
Yep.
You know, we don't need another origin story because we already know Batman.
Thank you. Yes, 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 man. Oh my God, not to cut you off, but you nailed it. We don't need, you know what? Not to cut you off, I don't even want to see it. We got it in Joker. We got the origin story. I didn't even want to see that in the Joker movie. I didn't want to see Batman's parents getting killed. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it any fucking more. I really don't, man. I really don't. We can go straight from when Bruce Wayne is whatever age, you know, Robert Pattinson is, and we can keep it from there. I'm cool with that. I don't need an origin story. No, I'm sorry to cut you off, man. Go ahead. What you thought? I'm sorry.
We don't need an origin story. We just need a very good, you know, Batman story with whatever type of Batman this is going to be. Because you don't want to do what Christopher Nolan did. You don't want to do what they did in the DCEU. You know, if you're going to
exactly.
do Batman, then try to do something a little different. You know, as far as, you know, what type of Batman is he going to be? You know, that's what I say first, and then we'll just see from there. You know, if Robert Pattinson, if he's the good actor that everyone claims he is, then he'll pull off fine. You know, if he's not, then he won't. And everyone will criticize them for casting him because they hate Twilight.
You know what I think about Robert Pattinson is that, and the reason why I gave in, because you saw my Facebook post. I was, like I said, I was, and this goes with the Joker shit. It's like I was 100% against it. But then I had an epiphany, and I didn't have to watch Twilight. I didn't have to watch Good Time, none of Robert Pattinson's indie films. I didn't watch, because, you know, Matt Reeves is directing it, and he did the last two Planet of the Apes movies. And this is a guy, this is a director that made me give a shit about CG apes more than I cared about live actors. You know what I'm saying? And I, you know, I didn't have to go back and watch all of that, but I actually said to myself, I said, you know what? This guy knows what's at stake. Matt Reeves knows what's at stake with the casting, with the movie. So I did this. I took the same route that I took when I found out Ben Affleck was cast as Batman. I said, you know what? I trust it. I'm going to run with it. I'm going to keep the faith in it. And honestly, Ben Affleck is still my favorite Batman, and it's like no disrespect to Michael Keaton, because I actually watched the first two Batman movies the other day, and I'm like, damn, I kind of feel like I betrayed Michael Keaton because I picked Ben Affleck as the best Batman. But it's like, I got a good Batman, I got a good Bruce Wayne, and I got Batman that is badass. Like that warehouse sequence in Batman vs Superman, I've never seen anything like that. And I know we'll never get anything like that. However, it's like I have to be open to the Robert Pattinson because it is a younger Batman. It's going to be more of a lighter Batman. But then it's like, you know, one of the things that concerns me is that, You got Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman. Now, I know people are like, oh, Catwoman's black. And it's like, yeah, Eartha Kitt was black. You know, that was, and actually she was a bunch of different races altogether. But, you know, she was the colored Catwoman. And we got, I can't remember the guy's name as the Riddler. But he was actually, I never knew that he was the guy in the beginning of, have you ever seen Taking Lives with Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, I saw it.
He's the guy that's in the beginning with the guitar, and he's like, we have the same color eyes, man. And he kicks the dude in front of the car that's on the, that's driving down the side of the road. He's the one that's literally taking lives. Like, he's in the beginning of that movie. That's the one that's playing the Riddler. I think his name is Paul Dano or something like that.
Yes, I believe that's his name.
Yeah, and he's playing the Riddler. Now, my thing with this movie, I don't mind Pattinson playing the Batman. What I do mind is us getting the same goddamn villains over and over and over and over. It's like, I can't. Jim Carrey, I'd be cool with him being the last Riddler. I'd be cool with Heath Ledger being the last Joker. Now, if we're going to get anybody new, now Bane was justified. Bane and Batman and Robin was garbage. So, okay, we can use another Bane. Tom Hardy did a good job. We can use another Mr. Freeze. We can use another Poison Ivy, but everybody else, like, we don't need another Riddler, Catwoman, Penguin. We don't need all of that. We had Danny DeVito, Michelle Pfeiffer, Jim Carrey. Two-Face, maybe. But no, actually Two-Face, because as much as I don't like Aaron Eckhart, I feel as though he's more intimidating than Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. But it's like, I feel like I don't want this movie to recycle the same villains that we've seen over and over and over again. That is going to be the downfall of the DC universe. And DC really, overall, they don't know what they're doing, man. And hopefully Matt Reeves brings like some structure to the universe with this new Batman movie. Hopefully it's epic. Hopefully it's epic, man. I really do hope it is something magical. Hopefully.
Yeah. It's just like I told you before, probably on Facebook, you have to understand that when it comes in, Batman has a very reverse rose gallery.
Uh-huh.
But most of the time when you're a movie studio and you want a villain, you want a villain that's going to sell tickets because they have to take a look as far as, who can you market. So it's always going to be more popular. It's going to be the Riddler, the Joker.
Yeah, man.
Catwoman.
Yeah.
No one knows who Professor Pig is.
Right. That's true. That is very true.
Unless you read the comics, or unless you saw a doctor, you might know who Victor Zsasz is. But you really don't know those people.
Yeah, man. As a matter of fact, yeah, you did say that on Facebook a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. You started naming people and you were like, yo, nobody knows who this person is or that person is. And they really don't. You know, they know the front runners. They know the people that, you know, that bring in the bacon that everybody is familiar with. And honestly, quite frankly, I'm tired of it, man. Like, you know, and it's one of the reasons why not only am I not a fan of Joaquin Phoenix, but that's one of the reasons why I wasn't keen on this new Joker movie. Now, while it wasn't a terrible movie, I'm tired of seeing him, especially when, you know, Jared Leto didn't get a fair shot. All his scenes hit the cutting room floor, and it's just like, man, I'm tired of seeing the Joker. And when they cast Zoe Kravitz, it's like, listen, I'm tired of seeing Catwoman, because while, you know, you had Eartha Kitt. I can't remember the other actress's name back in the 60s. Then you had Michelle Pfeiffer.
Julie Newmar.
Oh, wow. That was Julie Newmar. God damn, man.
Yeah.
Damn, that was Julie Newmar. Wow.
Yeah, it was Julie Newmar. If I think I got her last name right. And then Lee Merriweather, she also played Catwoman.
Damn. See? Tell me something. Okay. Wow. All right, so, and then after, but honestly, my generations, for me personally, my Catwoman was Michelle Pfeiffer. Now, when that Halle Berry shit came out, it's like, listen, I was a kid, and I'm like, listen, Halle Berry probably is one of the women that was responsible for my puberty hitting, but I'm not a fan of this movie. I don't care how much in leather you are clad, this movie's trash. And You know, then we had Anne Hathaway, and I actually like, I'm in the minority. I like Anne Hathaway. I feel like she had sex appeal. I feel like she whooped ass. She wasn't no Michelle Pfeiffer, but, however, she was good as Catwoman. She was a cat burglar, but
because you know you have to separate how Michelle Pfeiffer played Catwoman,
exactly,
or Selena Kyle, as opposed to how Anne Hathaway did,
exactly.
I like Anne Hathaway, but she was more of the Selena Kyle that we see in the comics,
exactly.
In the Tim Burton Batman,
yep. And my whole thing with this, Zoe Kravitz being cast, it's like, listen, we've seen this before, man. Now, I don't know if this is going to, now I feel like they're doing this as a slap in the face. It's like, listen, they're either going to do this as a slap in the face to the Halle Berry Black Catwoman, or they're going to do this as a slap in the face because they didn't like how Anne Hathaway portrayed Catwoman in The Dark Knight. Now,
I don't think that's the reason. I just think the way Hollywood thinks right now, we need a diversified cast.
Right.
That's the reason why we cast a black woman as a Catwoman now. I think it's more and more diversity. Doris, I don't think it's a slap in the face to Halle Berry or even Anne Hathaway. I think it's more about Hollywood trying to be more diversified in their cast.
Oh, no. I agree as far as diversity, because you see, God damn, what's the actor's name? You see, Commissioner Gordon is black now. And he's the guy that played in, what was he in? He was in Invasion with Nicole Kidman. He was in Shaft. He played Martin Luther King, for God's sakes. He was, God damn, what is his name? Jeffrey Wright? I want to say his name is?
Jeffrey Wright,
yeah. He's, and I was kind of on the fence. And I was only on the fence because J.K. Simmons didn't get his fair shot. And it's the same. It goes back to me saying that, you know, Jared Leto didn't get his fair shot. So I gave Joaquin Phoenix a hard time. But I'm going to give Jeffrey Wright a hard time because J.K. Simmons didn't get a hard time. I'm glad to see diversity is here to stay. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. However, now, if it's in context of the character, I'm all for it. But don't just make Commissioner Gordon black just to make him black. Wait, is Jeffrey Wright black? Well, I don't even know what the hell he is, because after watching that Shaft movie with Samuel Jackson, I feel like he's Hispanic forever. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, but you know, I mean, apparently diverse. Listen, now let me go into now. I'm gonna go into the next topic.
Since
we're talking about diversity, we're talking about the blackness. So we got, with the blackness, with that being said, we got Candyman. We got Candyman coming out. Now, this is supposedly, now people are saying it's a soft reboot, quote unquote. Other people are saying that it's a sequel to the original movie and it's discarding the first sequel. And the second sequel, actually, the second part, Candyman 2 is actually pretty good. The third one's trash, but now, this is my thing with Candyman. While it is a very socially relevant black horror movie, they said Tony Todd's coming back, but then they say Tony Todd is not coming back, but then they say he is. It's like, it's a lot of mixed emotions with this Candyman sequel, and I don't even understand. I know Jordan Peele... Did you hear? You know Jordan Peele is producing it.
Yes.
And the director, I can't remember the woman's name, but it's a black woman. And I'm so happy that the people that are crafting this movie are behind it. Because if there's no better time than to come out with this movie, it's now. You know what I mean? Like, especially with Jordan Peele coming out with things like Get Out and Us, and him producing the Twilight Zone reboot TV show and stuff like that. It's like, to get behind something like Candyman is, I feel like it's really going to be, I feel like it's going to be controversial though. I don't know. I
really haven't heard anything story-wise. I heard rumors that, you know, this is supposed to be a reboot, and...
Right. Yeah, me too.
Said, no, it's not. It's supposed to be a direct sequel. It's going to ignore the other two sequels. You know, some people say it's supposed to be reimagining. You know, I really haven't heard anything about it.
It's a whole bunch of hoopla going around about it.
It's just a rumor.
Yeah. It's a whole bunch of hoopla going around about. I do know. What's the guy's name? I can never pronounce his name, and I don't want to mispronounce it. But he's the guy that played Black Manta in Aquaman. He's in it.
Oh yeah, he's in it. I can't pronounce his name either right now. I know what you're talking about too, though.
Yeah, he's in it, and there were rumors. Now, you're absolutely right, man. This goes back to about it being a whole bunch of hoopla about it, because there were rumors saying he was going to be the new Candyman, and then they said Lakeith Stanfield from Get Out in Atlanta was going to be the new Candyman, and then they said he was going to be the Helen Lau character. We really, honestly, safe to say we really don't know. I hope that it is, I hope Tony Todd comes back. I really do. Now, as much as I've said it before. I've said it online. Like, I want him to pass the torch. I wish everybody would pass the torch, to somebody that's worthy. But if Tony Todd wants to come back for it, if it's a direct sequel, cool. I'm all for it. Because Tony Todd is, like, let's be real. He is Candyman. Nobody can, nobody can fill those shoes. That guy, Tony Todd, is a Shakespearean actor. And he sheds tears while he delivers lines. That's unheard of, man. That's unheard of. But supposedly, I don't know what they're doing, because, man, they're supposed to be going back to Cabrini Green. It's supposed to be gentrified community now. I don't know what they're doing. I'm glad they're keeping this under wraps, but I'm also glad we're actually talking about it, because not a lot of people are talking about this movie. And I feel like it's going to be one of those movies that because Jordan Peele is behind it, I feel like he's going to push this female director to make it something that I feel like he's going to push her to make it more than what it is. I went back and watched the original Candyman a little bit, and it's still really socially relevant.
When I did my Blacks in Horror earlier this year.
Oh, yeah, I remember you did that.
Yeah, and I rewatched Candyman, and it's still socially relevant. You know, it's even in today's society.
Yep.
You look it back on it, and you see, just not how good the film is, but, just what the movie represents. Especially at that time.
And I remember there were the director, I don't know if it was the director, the producer, or the writer, but I know the people behind it ultimately went to, they had meetings. They called a meeting with the NAACP, and I was looking this up online. They called a meeting with the NAACP because they were scared to release this movie without their consent. And apparently the NAACP were like, well, what's the problem? What are y'all coming to us for? We need this movie right now. Why can't we have a black ghost tale, and why can't we have a black, like, Freddy Krueger or Pinhead or something like that? They were like, yo, why are you wasting our time with this bullshit? Go ahead and put this movie out. And I love that they were behind this, and that they did that, man. And I really hope that, I hope that they get that type of support nowadays. I mean, it'll probably be controversial when it comes out. It will. No doubt it'll be controversial when it comes out. I'm almost certain it will. But I feel like we need movies like that. Like, we don't just need a Black Panther and what's the movie with Marshall Ali?
Blade.
Yeah, the new Blade. What's the guy that's what was it called? The Green Book. We don't just need movies like that. Like, maybe we do need some black horror, and let's get some conscious black horror out here that's going to wake people up and strike some fear into people. I feel like it's good, man. I feel like it's good. I don't know, but now we're still on the topic of horror. So I'm about to hit you with another title, and it's probably going to, it might throw you off. I don't know. Black Christmas. Have you seen the trailer for Blumhouse's Black Christmas remake?
Yeah.
now listen, man. Before I ask you, man, let me say something. Anybody out there listening to me and Monty right now, y'all need to know that I am forever going to be in the minority as far as opinions go. I am one of those people that I watched the remake first and then I watched the original. And here we have the remake of the remake. Now, let me just say, people out there listening, I prefer the remake over the original. The original is not a bad movie. Shout out to Bob Clark passed away, didn't he? Rest in peace. Shout out to Bob. Yeah, rest in peace. Shout out to Bob Clark. But he paved the way for movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th. I understand. Now, however, I am a fan of the remake because it was a very straightforward, cheesy slasher that gave me everything I wanted. Easy on the eyes, carnage candy. Now, this Blumhouse, I like Blumhouse, man. They've been doing a lot better with their horror properties. Now, mind you, let me say this, man, to you personally. When I saw this, when I heard the news about this Black Christmas remake of the remake, I was actually excited because I'm like, Blumhouse has been on a roll. They've had Halloween. I actually didn't mind Happy Death Day. I just recently saw Happy Death Day to You, like that's the sequel. It actually wasn't bad. It was really well written. It was really clever. But Blumhouse ultimately has been doing better with their horror movies. Not necessarily awesome, but better. Now, when I saw this trailer for the Black Christmas movie, I got vibes of, do you remember that remake of Sorority Row?
Yes.
With Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
And you have Rumor Willis, and you know, you had all the, like, those are the vibes I'm getting, but worse. Worse. Now, Sorority Row is not good, so for me to say it's worse, like, it's, I'm getting vibes of Sorority Row, and have you ever seen Hot Fuzz, Monty?
No, I did not see Hot Fuzz.
What is his name? Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright movie?
Yeah, Nick Frost.
Nick, there you go. Nick Frost, Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright. Yeah. Hot Fuzz, it's giving me vibes of that. As far as a cult doing something it's not supposed to do. Like this, this Black Christmas remake, it looks bad, man. It looks really, really bad. Like, it makes the remake look like Schindler's List. You know what I mean? You saw the trailer for the remake. It's bad, man. It's bad. It really, I mean, in my personal opinion, it looks bad. It really does. And it looks like there's some type of, oh, we're sisters, let's stick together to overcome this underground cult. Like, the whole underground cult thing is like, wait, what's his name, Carrie Ells? From Saw and, you know, Robin Hood, Men in Tights and all that. He's in there. And he's apparently behind the whole grand scheme of things. And I'm like, man, this is so predictable and so corny looking. I don't even know why Blumhouse took steps backwards when they came out with something like Halloween. Like, they are really trying to tarnish.
And here's the problem with the problem with trailers. The trailers unfortunately gave away some of the plot of the movie.
Right.
It was bad. And unfortunately that makes people not want to go see it because now you see that, wait a minute, is this what I think it is? It's going to be some cult. Now, I like the premise. The premise is showing that we're not going to have dumb girls. We're going to have a whole bunch of strong-willed women that's going to fight back. So I like that premise. But unfortunately, because the trailer now knows some aspect of the plot or the story,
right?
Like, well, that's not real good. But then again, like I said before, want to go see it? We'll see if it's good or not. And hopefully, if it is good, and they did a good job in showing it. But if not, and it's going to be a waste of time. And again, that's why I say, when you decide to do a remake of a remake.
Oh man!
Like I said, I had no problem with the remake. Obviously, I like the original better than the remake.
Right.
Just to give an example. When I did the Creepy Channel Crawl, and I talked about The Fly.
Yeah, I remember.
The original. And as much as I enjoy the remake of Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, I like the original better probably because I saw that first, and I can't forget that scene. When the guy fires and the fly traps in the sidewalk, and he can help you, I'll never forget that. That scene is the same because I was little.
Now I remember that. Now I didn't obviously I didn't see that movie first. I saw the Jeff Goldblum movie first, and honestly, I couldn't appreciate either one fully until I was older. But I do remember that scene. I remember how much that scene had an impact on me because I was like disturbed, like holy shit. Yeah, right, like. Yeah.
So to me, that's what's just so funny. But that's the whole thing. It's like some people, depending upon what they see first, they might gravitate to that first before the action scene, because you saw the remake first before you saw the original.
Yeah, I did. I really did. And I saw the remake plenty of times, and I think the first time I saw it, I actually didn't mind it. And I'm like, I guess I didn't mind it because I didn't know the source material, really. I got the gist of it because, you know, I would go on like IMDb or go online and read like the read the premise and stuff like that. But I remember I think I ordered it like back when like Comcast digital cable was first popping off, and I remember I ordered Black Christmas and I watched it, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm like, this is eye candy galore. The chicks are fine as hell. The movie looks great. It looks beautiful. And I'm like, I'm getting gore. And but, you know, I wasn't keen on the fact that, you know, the whole incest thing and the killer having yellow skin and all that shit. But then I went back, I think it was a couple months ago, and a lot of people were pissed at me because I'm like, listen, man, like I understand what this movie meant to people, but I'm not crazy about it like everybody else is. I can appreciate it, but I wouldn't put it in like my top 10 horror movies of all time because it kind of like went by me as I was watching it. But no, I understand where you're coming from. It's like, when you see something for the first time, it has a different impact on you as opposed to when you see like the remake and then you go back and watch the source material. Like it depends, you know, it depends.
Yeah. And another thing I like to say, because I know a lot of people like to say Black Christmas was the first slasher movie. Well, it was probably back in that time.
But wait, that was a
73?
Shit, I say that to say this. Was that before or after Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
That was, I think it was before Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, wow.
But I don't consider Texas Chainsaw Massacre a slasher.
Oh, see, now that's, see, we about to get technical, man. We about to get technical, man. Oh, you said, all right, so, I mean, so the first slasher, technically, is that Psycho? Is it Psycho?
Psycho, yeah, the original Black Christmas came out in 74, so it was before Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because that came out in 75.
So Psycho came out in, what year was that? God damn. Yeah, that's a shit. That's a whole nother. See, you see, I had a whole moment just now. That's a whole nother topic.
I'm sorry. Psycho came out in 60.
1960?
Yeah, it came out in 1960.
Damn.
Yeah, because Psycho, I knew it came out in the 60s, but yeah, but Psycho came out. I actually considered that the first slasher. You know, even though we really didn't have slasher tropes, but as far as it still was a slasher, because it still was a, you know, it had some of the slasher elements.
Right.
Black Christmas, even though it had even more of the slasher elements, for some reason, nobody in Hollywood caught on to it until Halloween came out.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that John Carpenter said he probably got some of his ideas from Black Christmas. But that's what some people said. But it really didn't jumpstart it anywhere because it didn't catch on.
Right.
You know, and cause that came because, you know, you had that. And the most, if anything, most studios were trying to repeat The Exorcist before Jaws came out. They were trying to come up with the next Exorcist, you know. But this was a bit of a change of pace because at that time, you know, all we saw was a bunch of Exorcist wannabes, and this came out, it was totally different. Well, unfortunately, the concept did not catch on, just like you know, everyone thought it should be, but it did serve the basis for, you know, for slashers.
Yeah. And honest, I mean, see, I'm getting kind of choked up with all the horror talk. It's like, you see, anytime we delve into horror, it's like it gets serious, man. It gets really serious. And I mean, honestly, the era of, I really don't even want to get into the era of horror, because I feel like I'm going to be talking about it forever. Like the era of the slasher genre and the jump scare genre and the tropes and stuff like that. Like it all means a lot, man. But I feel like we know where it came from, whether it be remake or prequel, or I was about to say requel, and I don't even know if that's an actual copywritten term right there, a requel. But listen, I'm going to jump right into the next, topic, and I'm going to jump into it, and I'm glad that I'm about to jump into it, because I will say that I, without spoiling anything, I know spoilers for this, and I will say that, you know what, first of all, let me ask you, your favorite Terminator movie, which is it?
Terminator 2.
Of course. Good man. You're a gentleman and a scholar, because Terminator 2, of course. And now listen, anybody out there, Monty's favorite Terminator movie is Terminator 2. My favorite Terminator movie is Terminator 2. Now, anybody out there that disagrees, y'all need to email us, and y'all can like send us whatever, because if you disagree, you're wrong. Now this is one of the few times where I will tell somebody you are wrong. Now, normally I'll be like, oh, well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. No, you're wrong. Terminator 2 is, there are no movies in this series that will live up to this movie. And this is a testament of why James Cameron is who he is. Terminator 2, first of all, Terminator 1. It's epic. It's a great movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's actually, you know, Monty, now, I don't know if you disagree with me or not. I always told myself Terminator 1 is a horror movie. It really is. I always feel like it's a horror movie.
It has some horror elements in it. I don't really consider it a horror movie, because I had this conversation before. And we had this discussion before, and I said, yeah, it has some horror. But I never really considered it a horror movie. I considered it, I actually would do it this way. I would consider it a sci-fi horror, if you want to go that far.
Sci-fi horror? We can do that. We can do sci-fi horror. I can do that.
Because I considered it a sci-fi picture.
Yeah, I can do sci-fi horror, and I can do sci-fi horror because he is on a mission. He is a sci-fi slasher. Is what he is. Now, Terminator 2, he's more of a protector, but, you know, he didn't kill as many people. He basically just wounded people. Now, this series, man, Monty, if we can talk about it for a little bit, I will say this is one of the most heartbreaking sci-fi series I've ever been a part of, because Terminator 1, we agree we can go sci-fi horror. You more so sci-fi. You gave it horror. To throw it a bone. I can go sci-fi horror. Terminator 2 is the best one. Terminator 3, I feel like that's when the series kind of lost its balls and it lost all intimidation whatsoever. And I'm in the minority. I love Terminator Salvation. I do. I feel like they were on the right track, and I felt like that with two more movies, they could have George Lucas Star Wars prequeled that shit. I felt like Terminator Salvation, they showed the beginning of the war. Part 5 could have been maybe a filler sequel with just some bullshit going on. And then 6 could have been, you know, John Connor dies, and after he sends Kyle Reese back into 1984. Then you buy the box set. But then we got Terminator Genisys, and I'm like, that was the worst one. Now we got this new one coming out, and I will not, people out there, I will not speak of the spoilers that I have seen in my life for this movie. But I will say, I'm excited to see it, but my excitement is dialed down due to what I've seen. But Monty, I will ask you, where do you think, do you think this new Terminator Dark Fate, do you think this will make or break the series? With all the shit that we've gotten in the last couple years with this Terminator Genesis, prior to that with this Terminator Salvation, prior to that with this Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines, do you think that the series will be over and done with if this movie does not deliver, this new one?
No, yeah, definitely. If this doesn't deliver and it actually doesn't make the money that they suspect the show will make, they will. For me, it'll be time to tell the story. Says, "Look, all right, you did okay, because I had no problem with Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines. I actually thought it was pretty good. It wasn't better than 2, but I actually thought it was a good movie. I don't know what they were trying to do. I didn't like Christian Bale."
Okay, yeah. Now we can agree on that. Now, I was not to cut you off, but I will say it took some getting used to. And the only reason I accepted Christian Bale is because I didn't like Nick Stahl as John Connor in Part 3. So I accepted Christian Bale, but the only reason it was hard for me to accept because it was Christian Bale and because he was fresh off of like The Dark Knight, and it was like he couldn't really shake that cancer throat. Like that voice that does just John Connor the Resistance. It's like, no, I'm like, no, man, I can't. But no, I hear what you're saying, man. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, and I don't even want to get into Genesis. Oh, boy. I mean, it was nice seeing Arnold back, you know. And, but that, I mean, it's kind of sick because I know Jason Clark can act.
He can, but he chooses not to.
That storyline was terrible. I played more of the writing than I did anything else than Jason Clark, because they did him no favors in that movie at all.
Yeah, he.
You got Arnold back. You know, you're trying to do something a little bit different, so you erase the timeline somewhat. But okay, I get that part, but it was a very convoluted.
You know why Terminator Genesis broke my heart? Because prior to that movie, and it was a movie just like it, I had saw the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. And I compare these movies, two different genres, Monty, but I compare these movies to say this. You have a movie where they promise us all this nostalgia, you know what I mean? They promise to bring everything full circle and to bring us back to where we left off and what we love and what we remember. And it just takes a fucking swan dive clean into the concrete, man. Clean into the concrete. Now, I was all for, and I don't like Jai Courtney at all. Like, make no mistake. Anybody out there listening, I don't like Jai Courtney as an actor. He has nothing going for him at all. That's just me personally. But that opening, you had the black guy that was in the construction truck, and he's like, "What the hell?" You know, when it, and then you had Nice Night for a Walk. Of course they changed those guys up because you can't recreate Bill Paxton and I think the guy's name was Brian Thompson. I know one of those goons was Bill Paxton. I know the other goon was actually, I can't remember the guy's name. He's Brian Thompson or something. He plays Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat Annihilation. It was a bad movie. Yeah, it was a bad movie, but I recognize the guy's face. But the CG Arnold looked amazing from 1984. And then you have the OG Arnold fighting him. And then, like, the first 15 or 20 minutes of Terminator Salvation was great. Or not Terminator Salvation, I'm sorry. Terminator Genesis was great. You promised us all this nostalgia, but then after that, you really took a swan dive and you dropped the ball so bad that the movie just exploded after that. Like, you dropped the ball into a pit of lava that just exploded everything that was good that you may have had going for it. And one of the things about this movie, this new movie, if they do that, I really feel like it's like, I agree with you that it's over. You really like James Cameron, sign the rights over to whoever or just chalk it, man. It's a wrap. Now, I don't even care. I mean, I'm intrigued that the Deadpool director is behind it. I really am intrigued because he has constructed some really good action scenes. However, this is a Terminator series, which is really in trouble. So you can't just gas me up with the Deadpool director and expect me to, you know, be 100% in. I still have reserves. I do want to see Linda Hamilton. I do. And I want to see this girl. What is her name? Mackenzie Davis. I want to see what her angle is, because we've already seen a part human, part machine with what was his name? Sam Worthington in Terminator Genesis. Or not Terminator Genesis, I'm sorry, Terminator Salvation. We've seen Sam Worthington. And he wasn't really all that great, but it's like you spoiled what his twist was in the trailer. You know what I mean? Like they spoiled it. They spoiled it. I don't know, man. I just don't know. With this movie, I don't know. I don't know, man.
As far as I'm concerned, like I said, it depends upon how, you know, it's nice to see Linda Hamilton back. It's nice to see Otto back again. You know, some of the scenes look pretty good. I like some of the effects that they have with this new Terminator, even though it's kind of similar to the T-1000.
Yes, it is. Very, very similar.
Very similar to that. But I'll see it next weekend, and then we'll see what happens. You know, because I'm pretty sure they have a lot riding on it, because I'm pretty sure what they want to do is, if this does well, they want to make two more movies with it, and then I think the last movie is when they finally will go in and defeat Skynet. That's basically what they are going to try to do if this movie is successful.
Right. Now, I mean, God damn it, man. I am not going to even jump into the plot of this movie that I have seen and that I have experienced. Now, this is all a part of me, you know. I posted something on Facebook and I said two things that I hate are the internet and my inquisitive mind. And that is one of the reasons why I dabbled into spoilers of Terminator Dark Fate, and I'm not going to talk about it. However, I will say that this will be a make or break film for everyone. And I'm not necessarily saying for the studio. I'm talking about like fans for us, like me and you, like people that really are invested in whatever story is left, whatever story we had, things like that. This is going to, there is a lot riding on the line of this movie, man. It really is, man. And I shit you not, there is so much riding on this Terminator movie. And it could have all been so simple, man. And I'm so pissed off that it could have been so simple and it wasn't, because they had gold. And people don't, you know, people can say what they want about Terminator Salvation. I really feel like they were on the right track, regardless of the Christian Bale, regardless of the PG-13 rating, regardless of Sam Worthington and them, letting us know what his twist was in the trailer. Because, of course, we knew he was a fucking, he was a half human, half cyborg. We knew that in the trailer. But they were on the right track. We had two more movies to go after that where we saw the war. And plus, we had a steal. We had Anton Yelchin playing Kyle Reese. And God rest his soul, man. I loved Anton Yelchin as Kyle Reese. He was great.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the few good things about the movie.
Yeah, he really was. And then you had him and other characters that were, you know, you had I can't remember the Indian woman or the Native American woman, however.
I forget her name.
Her name was Moon Bloodgood or Blood Moon Good or something like that. Something like that, man. She was fine, though. And it's like, yo, she was a badass character. She was a badass female lead in that movie. And that's one thing. Now, I will say this about the new movie. There are a lot of people complaining out there like, oh, the new Terminator chick is, you know, she's a female that fights people. And it's like, people need to get over it. There have been bad. There have been badass female leads in this series from day one. Sarah Connor became that woman. She was like the Laurie Strode of the Terminator series in the first movie. The second movie, she was a badass female lead, 100%. The third movie, you had Christina Loken and you had Claire Danes, who were badass female leads. Like, it's been that. So people that are complaining about that, y'all need to grow up, man. Like, y'all, they really do. Like, people that are complaining about female leads, y'all need to, you know, y'all need to love y'all, hug y'all mothers when y'all get home. Hug your mothers when you get home, because there have been badass female leads in this Terminator series from the rip. Mm-hmm. Now,
hey, listen, I had to cut this short because gotta work tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, we can cut it short. We can cut it short, and we can continue, because we actually have more topics to go, and I can put them in parentheses and cross out the ones that we actually talked about.
Okay, that's good.
Now listen, people, I want y'all, when y'all get a chance, I want y'all to like, subscribe, Horrormeister Monty G. My man has a YouTube page. He does movie reviews, trailer reactions, whatever you have it. I want you guys to check him out on YouTube, like, subscribe, like I said. Check me out. Instagram, Facebook, Romero Tutor. There's a Facebook group, Cinemaniacs, my man. Horrormeister Monty G is in there also, and he can also plug his channel in that group if you want. Now, Monty, man, listen, man, I really appreciate having you on this episode, man. It's definitely been a pleasure. It was long overdue, man. I really appreciate you, brother. Man,
you know how I love it, but I told you before, when you get together, get your own YouTube channel.
I'm working on it, man. I set it up. I just need to start posting shit on there, man. God damn. But listen, man, definitely, man, we'll do this again sometime, man, and we could close this out. We'll get back to it, and we'll figure out the topics next time, brother. All right,
man.
All right, Monty.
All right, later, everyone.
All right, everybody.
All right, peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.